Let's open with hymn number 8.
Forever shall we world without.
be with you.
And with my spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who by thy Holy Ghost hast revealed unto us the gospel of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we beseech thee so to quicken our hearts that we may sincerely receive thy word, and not make light of it or hear it without fruit, as did thy people, the unbelieving Jews, but that we may fear thee and daily grow in faith in thy mercy, and finally obtain eternal salvation through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Sunday after Trinity is found in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah, the 1st through the 11th verse. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord." Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 1st through the 11th verse. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Here ends the epistle. "Keep me, O Lord, as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Hallelujah, hallelujah. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Hallelujah." The Holy Holy Gospel is found in the 19th chapter of Luke, the 41st through the 48th verse. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things that belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and surround thee, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, but could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 419. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, the 30th through the 33rd verse. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. When this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us that this day is the day of thy visitation. For now thou showest unto us the word of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, if you've ever been in a place where someone was weeping publicly, you probably experienced a bit of discomfort, particularly if you did not know them very well. It's natural to want to comfort someone who's weeping. But what about when that person is Jesus? What comfort could you give him who already knows all things? There are times when the hard truth brings us to tears, and we simply have no other option but to bear with the tears. How much more so it is for Jesus, who weeps over his people, who weeps for Jerusalem. What answer is there to his pain? When he looks forward across the boundaries of time and sees the unspeakably horrible end that awaits them all, he is filled with love for Jerusalem, for all of Israel, and now he must stand by and allow their fate to befall them. Why? Couldn't he simply wave his hand and change the future? Couldn't he make them all believe on him? Yes, he could. But God does not force the heart which steadfastly and firmly resists him. His love is not coercive, or else it would not be his love. The help of Israel was in Jesus, but they would not have him. They steadfastly turned aside his help and resisted his Holy Spirit. What else could Jesus do but weep? The day of visitation is upon us now, because whenever the word of God is being taught, that is the day of grace. God calls to you today to hear him, to repent of your sins and to believe on Jesus Christ. Tomorrow may be too late, because who knows what end awaits you if you do not repent today. The future is always hidden from our eyes, but one thing is not hidden: Jesus. His word is with us now. It is not just some pretty melody to be enjoyed in the moment and then forgotten, but it is the turning point of our lives, bidding us to repent and showing us a gracious God who would not have us perish in our sins. Better that the tears which must be shed be our own tears of repentance than Jesus' tears of dread for those whom he loves. When you hear the text that we just read out of Ezekiel, you could almost imagine that these words were written to the churches of the 21st century, rather than to another people some 2,500 years ago. In fact, they were written when Israel had been conquered by Babylon and all but the poorest remnant of the people were left behind. This punishment came upon them because of their idolatry, and it was specifically their worship of Baal. It is not surprising. to hear the prophets of the Lord preach a fiery message when they have to face such a hard-hearted people. For so many of the people were stubbornly clinging to their idols. And certainly the prophets had many such messages, as also did Ezekiel. Now it's easy to imagine that in our own nation we don't have it so bad. I mean, how many people really worship false gods like Baal? Oh yes, there are pagans here and there, but after all, they don't pretend to be anything but pagans. They're proud of their idolatry, and they make no pretense of worshiping the Lord. Nor do they in the least pretend to be interested in hearing the word of God, confessing their sins, or learning of Jesus. But if we're going to compare apples to apples, we would have to say that such proud pagans are really more akin to the Babylonians, who never pretended to worship the Lord, than the Jews who paid God lip service, but denied him in their hearts. The Jews were the people of the Lord. They were the visible church of that time, living in a pagan world, very much as we Christians do today. And just like it is with those who go to church today and hear Christian preaching and sing hymns and talk about loving their neighbor, so it was with the Jews in Babylon. They did not make an open show of hostility to the Lord, and they listened to the preaching of his prophets. They had grown quite comfortable in Babylon, for though they had been taken out of their own land, they actually managed to make a rather nice living for themselves there. They set up shops, they raised families, and in many ways they blended in quite well with the Babylonians. Many of them had no desire to go back. Just as it is with the visible church today, they talked to one another about their Jewish heritage, about their pastors, or prophets in this case, inviting one another to church. Please come and hear what the word is that has come from the Lord, they would say, standing in the doors of their houses or in the public places where people congregated. Much like the politicians you will hear this season, they talk of Jesus and of the Savior, because after all, that's what people in a Christian nation are supposed to do, right? Love your neighbor and all that. But how did they hear the word of the Lord? They spoke of love with their lips. But after all, talk is cheap. And for a moment, talk may be heartfelt. But did they have the love of God in their hearts, or were they simply carried away in the moment? A little bit of old family history and heritage, the God of their fathers and all that. But ultimately, they still cared more for getting back to real life. Did they worship the Lord alone? Did they come to worship Him that they might confess their sins, turn aside from all false gods, and seek his forgiveness? Did they look to the Lord whom the prophets declared as a God of mercy and love who would pardon the iniquity of his people? No. They were idol worshippers on Monday through Friday, and they worshiped the Lord on the Sabbath day for a time, as the prophet Jeremiah declared in our Old Testament lesson. They listened to God's words and they said, "That's nice. The speaker was very good and the hymns were beautiful. Oh, what a lovely day." And since they had done their duty of hearing and coming to the word of God, they went back to their comfortable lives and lived as they always had, never standing out, never rocking the boat by living in Babylon but not being of Babylon. Even when the prophets of the Lord, such as Ezekiel, declared the judgment of God and bid them to repent, they patronized them. They treated the word of God as nothing more than a passing melody, sung by a player in the marketplace with a beautiful voice. Modern psychologists have termed this behavior passive-aggressive. Don't argue. Be pleasant. Keep your disagreement to yourself and then go about your business however you wish. This is the very thing of which Jesus accused the church which was at Laodicea in Revelation 3:14 and following. They were neither hot nor cold, only lukewarm. They only cared to hear the word of God so long as it was a novelty or pleasant to the ears, but it went no further. They dipped in the shallow spiritual waters, but they refused to drink the draught of repentance and faith, fervently turning to the Lord once more and seeking his help and salvation. What will happen to such people? Jesus told Laodicea that he would spit them out of his mouth. And likewise to Israel, the Lord said that the day would come that they would surely know that God had sent them a prophet and they did not heed him. The day which the Lord prophesied was the day of destruction that came upon Jerusalem in 70 AD, when her enemies would come and surround the city and utterly destroy it. And then they would know that a prophet had been among them, and they heeded him not. God says a prophet, meaning not just any prophet. He does not mean specifically Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, or the others whom God had sent. No, a specific prophet that God would send to bring his people grace and salvation, wondrous and everlasting comfort and peace, if only they would have it. All the prophets before, from Moses to Malachi, were forerunners and messengers of one prophet above all others. And every word of all the prophets of old were the words of the one prophet whom God would send to men, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in the parable of the wicked husbandman who had ignored, persecuted, and killed all the other messengers whom God had sent, surely they will hear my own son, but they would not. Oh, they would hear the sounds of his words, but nothing more. And then when it was too late, they would come to know perfectly how great was the opportunity that passed them by. And so when that promised prophet did come among them, they flocked to Jesus. Even as we heard in the gospel lesson, he was very popular with the people. They followed him around the countryside. The many thousands of Judea came to hear him, and word spread. And they told their neighbors, "Have you heard this prophet Jesus? Come, let us go and hear what he has to say, whether he has some word from the Lord." Think about it. Consider how before his crucifixion, Jesus preached all over Israel to so many people. He had such popularity. They hung on his every word. But where were they after all of that? They went on with their business. They lost interest as soon as the signs and miracles ended. He was quite the preacher. He even worked miracles, but he wasn't the sort of Messiah that they were interested in. They came to hear his preaching, and my, how they listened. His words were like a symphony. No man had ever spoken like this man Jesus did. But for all of that, their ears were closed when Jesus wept. They had no use for his tears. What are these tears of Jesus? What do they mean? He cries because he sees the destruction and death of a people whom he dearly loves. He cries because the end which will come upon them is worse than they could possibly fathom. Worse than any of us today can imagine, even though we've seen the horrors of world wars. His tears speak too much of things that people do not want to contemplate. Too much doom and gloom. It leaves a bitter taste in the mouth. What is all of this to them anyway? They want pleasant words, positive thinking, uplifting worship. These tears of Jesus just do not speak to the needs of the first century Jew. Or for that matter, the 21st century Christian. Perhaps he wasn't such a good preacher after all. Perhaps the Pharisees were right. Perhaps we should just crucify him and put him out of his misery. If Jesus were among us visibly today, where would we find him weeping? Would he be weeping over the millions of Christians whom he knows will appear before him on the last day, calling out, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name?" And then he will have to tell them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Would he be weeping when he sees millions go to church and leave no different than they were before? better than the tears that are shed in this day, our own tears of repentance. For on this day, Jesus is among us now, inviting us to partake of the good things of life and salvation. He does not come to you asking you to change your life. He will do that for you. He bids you to believe his word and to receive it not just as a pretty song, but as words of eternal consequence. The declarations of God's wrath to come apply to all men, and the judgment which the Savior sees when he casts his eyes forward to the end of this world, not just of any small city, is not the destruction just of a small city or region, but of the entire world, when all men will know the most unspeakable torments beyond anything that ever happened in Jerusalem or anywhere else. And so when he speaks of sin, he does not mean the sins of others. He doesn't speak about the concept of sin in general. Jesus speaks of your sins. And therefore, when he bids you to repent, he's talking about you and telling you how dire your situation will be if you refuse his voice or cast it aside. And when he says to you, I would gather you together as my dear children, protect you under my wings, care for you with tender mercies, and take you with me into eternal life in my Father's house, he would have you experience personally the truth of those words and the great love which moves him to call to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is all he ever asked of Israel. This is all he asks of you. Those are not mere words or just a pretty song. This is the sincere desire of the heart of one who loves you more than you can possibly imagine. Would a people turning away such an invitation as this, that asks nothing of them, but that they admit their poverty and lowliness and receive his help, who would turn such an invitation away? On this, the day of his visitation, therefore, hear this gracious word of our Lord Jesus Christ and learn of his love for you. And believing, find rest for your soul under the shadow of his wing, that on the day of his final visitation you might be sheltered from the wrath to come and turn your tears of repentance to tears of great joy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, bless these gifts offered unto thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and make them fruitful in the work of thy kingdom. Amen. O God, our God, by whose Spirit all things are ordered in thy kingdom, so that if anything be done, it is thou who hast done it, and if anything be given, it is thou who hast given it, or if anything be withheld, it is thou who hast withheld it. Mercifully hear our prayer. Grant through thy Holy Spirit that thy word may come unto thy church, that thy people may hear it from Christ-like teachers with the ears of faith, and turning to thee in the fullness of love and trust, may know thy will, repent of their transgressions and iniquities, and amend their ways by obedience to thy commandments. By thy Spirit help thy church to confess unceasingly that Jesus is Lord to thy glory, and that he who by his bitter sufferings and death redeemed us all from sin, sits at the right hand of thy power, having authority over all things in heaven and earth, and that he shall reign until all enemies are under his feet. Give by thy Spirit every spiritual gift which is necessary for the work of thy church. May thy light go forth, and may people of every nation, kindred, tribe, or realm learn of thy glory. Keep the nations of the earth in peace and tranquility, and to this end turn the hearts of men from war and wickedness. Especially do we beseech thee to bless our own land and all who rule over us, that our liberties may be preserved and our laws upheld, that justice may prevail and lawlessness punished. Grant that goodness may be honored and labor enjoyed. May the words of our Lord Jesus Christ be taught daily in all homes, that both parents and children may grow in grace through the knowledge of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Bestow thy favor upon all useful labors in industry and agriculture, education and science, the professions and the arts, that in their advancement thy people may be prospered. Look in mercy upon the sick and the hurt, those who sorrow or mourn, the handicapped and the infirm, and hear their cry. Let the healthful powers of thy love come to them, so that they may turn to thee in praise and thanksgiving, and bless thy holy name. These and all other prayers hear, O Lord, and grant for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whom are hidden all the treasures of heaven. Amen. We sing hymn number 605.
Our works he bore.
Give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Sing hymn number 48.
Oh,
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.